humans, and welcome to Audio Face. We're in a rabbit podcast about music news and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
This is episode 202.
I'm not used to you putting 200s.
I'm not under. Either. I'm not used to saying 200 every time.
I'm used to like 181 something, yeah. But we'll get used to it because we got 98 more of these. And also, we don't count bonus episodes because we're well clear past 200 episodes. We count the bonus episodes. But
230 something. But yeah. We got albums. We've got music. We've got Certified Lover Boy by Drake. We got If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power by Halsey, because we had to push that because Kanye decided to finally drop his album. So sorry, Halsey, but now we get to you now. And we have Sometimes I May Be Introvert by Little Sims. Little Sims saved me from making this Nocio Island, so we're good. And we've got one single that we'll get to in a second. But how's your week been, Dan?
My week has been, you know, very eventful. Just, I don't know, busy, as I'm sure many of our adult lives are, but I'm glad that we are able to, as is custom, as is tradition, kind of go through some singles and albums, and actually have some strong taste, because I think people know, they think they know what we're going to say about Certified Lover Boy, and they think they know what's said about Donda. Our Donda review is controversial for all the reasons people didn't expect, so definitely check that out. But We have a lot to go into. Let's get into Less Single Rooney, the one single.
We got one single, because every other single kept hitting the singles rule that I found. So if you don't know the singles rule, it is we only reveal one single until an album rollout happens, because we've made mistakes very early on the podcast, and that way we don't spoil the whole freaking album before we actually get to listen to review it. So no matter who it is, unless you get lawyered by Gorillaz. Then we do one single before
The album is ready. I was about to say, very recently we've made mistakes in the singles rule. But I for this one, I'll just add that September and October are very busy months for music releases, when we'll be seeing really major music releases as we usually do in the fall. So stay tuned for that. A lot of the big releases that are coming out are singles we reviewed in previous months. So check out our new singles videos. We release them oftentimes earlier than the full podcast goes up, because it's just so easy to get these out. But check them out wherever you get podcasts.
Phineas should be releasing his album this month, correct? If I
recall. Phineas may be October, but I know...
October? Okay.
I think we're getting Young Thug. We're getting Young Thug. We're getting Lil Nas X. We're getting a lot of September releases. Also, I usually jinx releases. But check them out when we do. Anyways, our single this week is Don't Let It Get You Down by Miles Kane.
Yeah, Miles Kane. For those of you who don't know, he's a English solo musician. He's also the second half of The Last Shadow Puppets, one of my favorite duo bands of Miles Kane and Alex Turner of Arctic Monkeys. Fantastic band, which can't wait for them to release another album. But unfortunately, we never get to talk about it on this podcast much, but it's one that I think I've brought up before here or there. And I think I've done them as a musical recommendation. If not, then I'm going to recommend them next time we do, but I'm 98% sure I've done. But this is Miles Kane is lucky enough to be touring around in some parts of Europe because they got their shit together. And released this song up for his upcoming album, and it's pretty good. I really like it. Interested, righteous, be seeking a little conversation, baby. So come a little closer and say, don't let it, don't let it, don't let it, don't let it get you down. Don't let it, don't let it, don't let it. Don't let it. That actually reminds me a lot of The Last Shadow Puppets' last album. That came out in 2016, kind of that like fun rock mixed with a little bit of like jazz and other stuff that he likes to throw in there. Voice is good. It's fun. It's a really good track. And I'd be interested to see how his whole album will sound like. And I'm looking forward to that when it comes out.
Yeah, it's definitely got its own sound. You can only judge so much on a individual single.
Yeah, exactly.
But the sound of it is, like you said, very fun, uses a lot of contemporary instruments, let's say. It just has a really nice, without being too fast or too even like upbeat, just like a really kind of motivating, uplifting track, as the title would suggest.
Yeah, so exactly.
We'll definitely be looking out for some more Miles Kane, because it feels like it's been a minute since we've gotten some proper work from him. But in the meantime, you can check out our 2021 AF playlist. the AF stands for audio face, or as fuck, whatever you want to do. And we put every single weekday, we are putting some of our best, like, picks of music that we're listening to. Some stuff we review on audio face, some stuff we don't even review on audio face. We're just listening to it as we're going through it, and we're like, hey, this is cool. And this came out in 2021, or maybe like one of the latter months of 2020. Throw it on the playlist. So you can check that out in the description of the podcast if you're listening to the podcast, or the description of the video if you're watching this video. Also, you can help grow Audio Face by going to Audio Face on Twitter or Instagram at Audio Face Pod. That's at Audio Face Pod on Twitter or Instagram. YouTube.com/Audio Face Pod, where you might be watching us already, is where you can subscribe to us on YouTube. That's where we post videos almost every single weekday. And on any of the podcast apps, if there's an option to review us or rate us or like us or anything, do that, because it helps us get discovered by more people. We just did a really fun Power Report episode with we brought Yasmin Aliyah Khan back on. She's from Texas, and we talked a lot about the Texas bills that recently passed there over the past week. The abortion law is a really big one. We had a really good conversation about that, better than anything you're getting in mainstream media or even a lot of alternative media. And we also dug deeper into what all those outlets aren't telling you about those bills, including there's so much more that's passing in Texas and so much more that's happening in state legislatures nationwide that we were able to kind of take a moment and really talk about on Power Report. So check out that episode. It'll be up around the same time you're listening to this episode, 202 of Audio Face. So Power Report 31 will be up around the same time, any way you listen to podcasts. And also check out Yasmin Aliyah Khan's podcast, Global Thread, also available wherever you get podcasts. So those are cool political things. And speaking of cool political things, unrelated to cool political things, cool sound things, is Peter. Thank you, Peter, for mixing and mastering this episode and making it sound nice despite my efforts to sabotage that process. DeadMusic666 on Instagram at DeadMusic666. Thank you, Peter. Now we go into a little bit of news, and unfortunately we have a little bit of Kanye runoff, but this is just a funny one. This is just a funny one.
My favorite thing in the world. So I can't even make it out. Like it's beautiful. So
the best way I can explain this,
Kanye is getting roasted for his album. Basically, a lot of people are saying, "What the fuck is this? It's bad." You had Annie go rip him a new one on those on the review on Audio Face.
Multiple comments on that review. It was fire. Check that out on YouTube.com/AudioFacePod or in episode 201 of Audio Face Pod, the Donda review. Fire. We're the only ones who are right. Melon got it wrong, but yeah, continue.
But the best part is, so you know how there's these album reviews Pitchfork gives out, and NME and all these other ones that give like a score, so,
with actual rating scales. If you listen to Audio Face, you may not know about this, but other musical platforms,
other publications actually use 1 through 10 rating scale. So Peppa Pig, you know, the kids show or whatnot, you know, the insufferable little pig thingy. Peppa's Adventures album, right, got a 6.5 on pretty sure this is Pitchfork.
Yes.
Donda got a 6. You need 600 to pass. You got 6. But best part of it is that Peppa Pig's official Twitter, which the fuck they have a Twitter for, I don't know why that's blue check mark, but, you know, we report, you decide. But the best part is they posted a screenshot of some reply tweet showing those two, and they said that Peppa didn't need to host listening parties in Mercedes-Benz Stadium to get that 0.5. and then Mike and pig nose emoji thing.
Social media trolling, poetry in motion.
Beautiful, beautiful.
I mean,
it's one of my favorite social media things ever. Like, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you can do a lot right and a lot wrong with a social media account, especially one for a kids, like not even a kids, like a toddler show, essentially. You could do a lot wrong with that, but that was amazing. And that's why we do arbitrary scales on Audio Face, because
that's one of my favorite Audio Face stories ever, because this is exactly why we do arbitrary scales, because it's arbitrary.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to make sense.
Because in reality, like in good conscience, there's no, you can't really compare the Peppa Pig album to Donda, nor could you say, oh, well, the Peppa Pig album is better than Donda because it scored 0.5 points higher than it.
Everything that's in the review is in the review of the actual album. You can't go from is Nat King Cole better than the Beatles or some random arbitrary thing like that.
Unless we're literally making that comparison in the review and we're describing why that comparison does or doesn't make sense. Exactly. Everything else, including the star rating system or the letter grade rating system or the number rating system in times like these is arbitrary. So we don't even try, and we come up with a new arbitrary scale every single episode.
This episode
is going to be number of Donda chants.
Yes, exactly. This one's going to be how many Donda's it has. But also intonation needs to be reported as well.
Yeah, so like a Donda might be different than a Donda.
Or it might be better than a Donda. Like, I don't know which one it is. We report you decide as always. But going into the actual music of this podcast, because that's what we do, we've got Certified Lover Boy by Drake. It is 21 songs, 1 hour and 26 minutes long, and I've been waiting for 3 days just to do this.
Drake, so Drake needs no introduction, but I will say that Drake's season on Audioface is a particularly fun time because Sean and I get to put aside our yearly differences and go in.
I go in it.
On Drake's latest event. And this one's especially interesting because last time there was some like rap beef sort of between Drake and Pusha T that happened. And that was barely even rap beef because Drake dropped some bars and released some verses and then Pusha T bullied Drake into becoming a better father. Just like somersaulted into the room.
One of my favorite rap beefs ever.
Yeah, and like it's probably one of the cleanest rap beefs because ultimately, like, no one was really in danger of like the actual ugly part of rap beefs. Yeah, no one's getting shot.
No one got stomped. It was just Pusha T.
Drake and blackface.
Exactly.
Just humiliation. That's all we need. Just absolute humiliation and shell shock from Drake. Honestly, he looks shell shocked in interviews talking about it afterwards. But now we have a beef between Drake and Kanye that is mostly being instigated by Kanye West. By the way, this is the most mid rap beef ever.
Most boomer rap beef ever.
Yeah, and the beef essentially, yeah, like you said, it's instigated by Kanye West and came out in a number of different ways. And one, it was putting all of them in a group chat of some kind, like Kanye West and Pusha T saying these all cryptic things that seem to be like, oh, I'm coming for Drake. I'm doing all these different things. He released, Kanye dropped an Instagram photo of Drake's address in Canada, kind of like semi-doxing him. It's not the hardest thing to find on the internet, of course, but like, it's like, that's a vibe. Drake responded with laughter. There were apparently some like diss songs going back and forth, but Kanye West released Donda. It was a big wet fart. All of the diehards and fans are like still in their like post-orgasmic shakes over it, while everyone else is just like, this is an album barely of that. It's a collection of songs. Some of them might be okay, but a lot of them are not that good, and we have a Donda review for that. But Drake's album release was just okay. Now that Donda's done, now that the firefighters have put out that garbage heap, he dropped a ad teaser on SportsCenter that was like, hey, Certified Lover Boy's dropping this Friday. And then we saw the album cover, this atrocious fucking thing next to our heads. And then
so much.
That's also the album cover for this podcast episode too. So y'all are definitely gonna be getting a lot of it. And I apologize. Unbearable Drake as always. With a bunch of like pregnant women emojis on it. And that's kind of like the theme is that, you know, this is Drizzy. He's out in the streets. He's has remorse for fucking his fans, but still does it anyways. And he's a dad and he's grown up, but he's got, you know, things to say. And Drizzy, I don't know. that's kind of what you get in with champagne poetry. You kind of get almost like a Kanye-esque, old Kanye-esque, like trying to get into like the vocals of, like, you're using vocals as like the layering of a song.
Yeah. 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 The city's on fire and people are in denial. Charges being labeled. We'll see what they do at trial. I'm calling this shit from now. Sweetheart deals at the judge.
And it's like a beginning sort of abode, you know, champagne poetry, Poppy's home. Like, this is Drake. This is just Drake. It's the milquetoast, inoffensive pop star that people hate to love and love to hate. And it's there. And my first estimation.
And then Drake comes out as lesbian in the next song of Girls Want Girls. So that's a new thing, apparently. No, I'm joking. The main theme of this record is it's nothing of like absurd, the offensive, right? It's not bringing Marilyn Manson and a baby on stage just to try to make yourself relevant again, or to like force your ex-wife to come on stage in her wedding gown and you just to force her through some more torture and all that shit. But it's just very lackluster and boring, and the lyrics of it just get really whiny and complainy here or there, and there's the typical Drake themes of love, betrayal, and like, am I gonna find the right one for me? He does own a son though, finally. He's like, you know, and Champagne Poetry, very first scene, he's like, yeah, I have a son. I'm going to do this stuff for him. I'm like, wow, finally. I took Pusha T stomping on you in order for you to finally acknowledge him / give him like the attention he deserves or this or that. But a lot of this stuff, it's just for somebody who's 34 years old, like you got to grow out of this phase, my guy. Like you can't be a certified lover boy creeping on like teenage pop stars and stuff,
Netflix stars
and
too.
Netflix stars and all this other stuff that you've been doing and whatnot, and make an album like this. The features are okay. Love All with Jay-Z isn't like, Jay-Z doesn't sound like he wants to like end his life or anything like that, like he did on Donda. Of just what is this? The Love All is a decent track. I thought it's Jay-Z's part. It sounds good. Fair Trade, Travis Scott, man, Travis Scott really fucking sucks. Man, he dropped off pretty bad. My worst favorite thing ever is Way Too Sexy with Future and Young Thug. It is the worst best song that has come out this year, and it's gonna be a song that Dan and I inadvertently love to hate, but then we end up like singing it together, getting all ratchet and stuff every once in a while because of how bad it is, yet how hilarious it is. Also, the music video is beautiful.
Too sexy for this sir, too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this ice, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for this chain, too sexy for your game, too sexy for this fame, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack from this. So first of all, for the old heads in the audience / us, you'll definitely remember the I'm Too Sexy song from the MySpace days.
Yes.
It is exactly that sample.
It is that sample. When he put that sample on, I literally had to pause it and I was like...
I pulled over. I had to pull over in my car and just go, Drake did it.
I was in rush hour traffic, so I couldn't pull over. So I was just stuck, you know, between some Ford Broncos and maybe a Raptor here or there.
I was not expecting to be like in the year 2020 and have to think of Right Said Fred ever again.
Right. It's just, I sat there, I'm like, you gotta be kidding. And then Future comes on, he says, I'm too sexy for this. And this is no more Future voice. Like, this is, I couldn't handle my laughter. It was just beautiful.
It's
poetry emotion.
So again, when I'm trying to do more of these reviews, of artists we aren't even particularly privy to, I try to get perspectives of fans and people who are like into these artists. And I'll have some comments from like one of my Drake fan friends in a moment. But one thing I definitely noted with this friend was that Drake is at his best, like unironically. He's truly at his best when he's not taking himself too seriously. When he's like part of the joke, when he's trolling, when he's kind of like having fun in his own.
Like looking nonstop and stuff on Scorpion. Like that's where Drake is at his best.
Yeah, or Hotline Bling.
Hotline Bling, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. When he's kind of just like playing around and like that's what we would want. Like laugh about artists like Bruno Mars, artists who are like very full of themselves and like kind of like are very busy like building a persona and can't like have actual fun with themselves, right? Versus artists like Vince Staples, who like in their very serious persona are actually like deadpan hilarious, right? Mm-hmm. So like there's other different like ways to do it. And Drake, at least there's is that personality there that comes out in these songs where it's like Drake gets his body, like it gets a body double that has like a beer gut that's hanging out on the beach, so just funny. Like checking out models and shit. Like, he's Drake. He doesn't need to do this. He's doing this for because he's like, he's at the top, and what else is he gonna need to do? Like, Kanye's at the top and he's like having some weird spiritual experience, and that's like putting it very nicely.
He's having mental episodes in front of us. And
yeah. Drake's at the top and he's gooning. Like he's just messing around. Like, he's just like having a fun time. Like, he's just having a sport. And like, I'll even though I don't like a lot of this music, I definitely think Way Too Sexy is a high point in Drake's career. Young Thug and Future's features. And just like this album in general.
Future's actually good. I didn't hate Future for once in my life. I actually liked his voice, his auto-tuned voice, like fit the song very well.
Also, can I say that the true winners, there's only one group of winners from the Drake Kanye West beef, and that's all the people who featured on the album, because these are all the same fucking features. They all just got paid. Yeah. They're just counting bands, man. Like, Lil Baby, Jay-Z, just like, whatever, niggas. Keep fucking fighting. I don't care.
Travis Scott is like, keep it up.
Yo, I won't even have to release a double album after this shit. Like, that's amazing. There are a lot of features that are shared on here. In fact, one notable feature, not noticeable feature, but let me say a notable credit, is that the song TSU, one Robert Kelly is listed as a collaborator. And so it appears that even with Certified Rap Lover Boy, there's a rap beef between Donda and which collaboration was more offensive, either TSU that has a production credit with R. Kelly, or Kanye bringing, yeah, who's in jail and facing charges that we've talked about ad nauseum on Audio Face, to the point where it actually makes me ad nauseum. And to Kanye West, who brought DaBaby and Marilyn Manson on stage. We've talked a lot about DaBaby and Marilyn Manson ad nauseum as well, to the point of ad nauseum. And so, first of all, I don't like to get into this, like, which terrible thing that could have been entirely unavoided, that was the choice of the producers and all of the men in the room who did this, mm-hmm. is worse. But since we're having the conversation, R. Kelly is listed there as like a production credit. So like they sampled something of R. Kelly's. And it samples Half on a Baby from R. Kelly's 1998 single. That's 1998 single. And yeah, so because of that, like, that's just customary. You give production credits to things you sample. It's almost like a legal thing. R. Kelly gets that credit. That being said, you could have just chosen to not use, you sampled Way Too Sexy. You can definitely choose a lot of things to sample on this album and like make it work.
You could probably find some other random YouTube song from 2007, like Chocolate Rain or some other random shit, to bring us into the 2020s, just to instead of R. Kelly, but you know, each their own.
Yeah, and it's the never mind the whole like relationship between R. Kelly and Aaliyah, and the fact that Drake has an Aaliyah tattoo on him, and never mind Drake's history with like his tattoos meaning absolutely nothing.
Never forget when he had to cover his tattoos during the NBA, but don't talk about that.
Ad nauseum Audio Face, but again, like, I don't like singing a judgment call, like, which is worse. Both were bad by Kanye West and Drake. They're both really unavoidable. But I think Kanye West with the DaBaby Marilyn Manson thing was a very clear, like, publicity stunt to shock
because
people.
He brought him,
whereas
he
this
brought
was a bad
on
choice
stage,
on Drake's thing.
It's
yeah.
The big thing. He both. Brought him out on purpose to shock people and be like, what the hell, and get news headlines. That way more people will go and listen to his piece of shit album and all that. And instead of just using a sample, which easily could have been avoided, but it's like, okay, it's nothing terrible, because it's not like it's really popped up on the record or anything. Like, it's, you know, you have to look through it. Like, us music people really know it, but to the average person, they might not know it, or they might recognize it here or there, but if they don't know the R. Kelly track, they're not going to necessarily know it.
But the real, there is some significance to this, and it is that we reported on Audio Face, I think episode 200 or 201, that R. Kelly is hurting because he can't even sell his song catalog. He's not making, yeah. I mean, he's obviously making money off of streaming and otherwise being a well-off celebrity, but like the legal issues have been hurting him financially, and he's like down to a lot of his last ropes here. And good. So, yeah, again, good. We're not asking for sympathy here, but that's the situation, and Drake is helping him by being Drake, yeah, and giving him a production credit and using that on his album. So R. Kelly will be getting money for his increasingly ridiculous and offensive defenses for all the things he's allegedly done in these years-long, very, very documented, with multiple people, yes, talking about it, cases. Drake is complicit very directly in that.
Yep.
And so, like, what's worse, what's here, that it's been done and it's very easily avoidable. But moving on, because this is a long ass album. It's an hour and 26 minutes, which is somehow shorter than Donda. And I'll say, like, I've been talking a lot, but I'll say this as far as the album goes. Like I felt with Donda, this is a step in the right direction for Drake. Like, Donda was a step in the right direction for Kanye West. This is
100%, because the mixtape that came out earlier this year was really just reiterated shitty trap that just comes out. Like, if you listen to Landed, you've heard a track like that 1,000 times done over. But at least with some of these tracks, like example, Champagne Poetry coming out at the beginning, it sounds like he's finally going back to kind of his older roots, but then mixing it up with different sounds and stuff he's heard. Naturally, he's gonna have you're still gonna have the trappier songs, gonna have the things that are cookie cutter necessarily, but he's having fun again. He's not like he said earlier, he's at his best when he's not taking himself seriously, and he's doing that throughout the record. And that's where you get the good Drake. That's where you can have fun, you can do other stuff instead of him trying to be super hard when he's not hard at all. And yeah, even the track, which is my favorite track on the album, Going Down, because after TSU, you have In Too Deep with Future, and that's kind of whatever. But going down a little bit further, you have Knife Talk with 21 Savage and Project Pat, and Metro Boomin on production too, and which I have, you know, first Metro Boomin track I've heard this year, or maybe that he's produced this year. And that track goes hard. We done baptized more niggas than the damn reverend. Kappa Alpha, me and my gang, we do all the stepping. Who you checking? It's FN, shoot east or west end.
Yeah. I heard Poppy outside. And he got the double R, drop it outside. Check the weather and it's getting real. I'll be outside. I'ma drop this shit in
hell. Because you have 21 going like, yeah, off his normal 21 self. And it's hilarious, like, per usual. The production is incredible. But this is where you get a problem with Drake, because you put a song with Metro and 21, and those are two really hard dudes. They're talking about, you know, shooting dudes up and talking about all these other things with guns and all this stuff. And then Drake comes onto that track and he almost disrupts the flow of the track because he doesn't sound hard enough compared to 21.
I mean, this,
the track is really good. I like it a lot, but
so I actually have a, so it's funny you mentioned that, because in like, there's a lot of songs to talk about here, so I can't sample all of these. But later down in the end, you have IMY2 with Kid Cudi.
Yeah, with Kid Cudi.
And I think it's that along with Knife Talk, because I agree with what you said there. It doesn't, like, Drake trying to fit into like a hard rapper persona has never worked, will never work, because you simply can't believe the Degrassi guys got it in him at no point in time. And like, time has only proven that out. That being said, Drake as a recording artist, when he's collaborating with other artists, tries to do a good job of meeting the other artist where they're at. And so, like, Drake's lines in Kid Cudi, like Drake's lines in the IMY2 song with Kid Cudi, and the way he's like matching Kid Cudi's kind of like layered, processed, auto-tune-ish crooning thing, Drake does that processing to his own voice. He kind of does the similar flow to his own thing to fit in a Kid Cudi song, because otherwise the two things wouldn't work together. You'd get kind of like Kid See Ghost, where Kanye and Kid Cudi kind of work together, but they're also too much for each other. There, Drake met Kid Cudi where he was at. And so you similarly get that in 21 Savage. Knife Talk too. Drake's trying to meet 21 Savage where it's at. Drake trying to be gangster is just something that's never worked transparently, so we're able to do that. But
he lets 21 and Metro do their own thing.
Absolutely. And that's
which is great because that's where they get to shine and honestly pick up this album, because, you know, that's 13 songs in. That's like about an hour of Drake, which is a lot of fucking Drake to listen to, because these tracks are long too. That's another note, because, you know, we've been getting longer albums necessarily track wise, but a lot of the tracks tend to be 2 minutes long or 2.5, maybe 3 minutes. These are like, the opening track is 5.5 minutes long. You have a bunch of tracks almost hovering on that 5 minute mark, mid 4 minute mark, like 3:30. So you get a lot of these longer tracks, like Knife Talk is 4 minutes, 3 seconds long. So that's a bit of a fucking trend of a lot of not just trap and hip hop and rap, but a lot of pop music and stuff that we've been getting this year too. But with all the features get to shine in their own way. Like, they're not, it's not necessarily cohesive because they're very different, but they get to have their own sound in there, which I think is good.
Drake is, he has his very own tried and true sound, and that doesn't really change too much. I'll say lyrically, he's a little bit tighter, but like lyrically he's long plateaued. 7 a.m. on Bridal Path is the most like direct to Kanye like disses you get, but even then it's very much, you get the kind of person who's like slapping a fly off of their shoulder, like this isn't a big deal to them, just like brush it away. Which is to say, like, a Drake could have made the rap beef more intentional. I mean, come on, dude, he gossip, like, as you mentioned the song, he brought like gossip about your family into the rap game and like did that, and fair or not fair, like, you have a lot of things you could go for it, but
you can go on full gas. Like, you can make so much fun of Kanye, dude. You have so much unlimited ammunition with Kanye. You can go off on him and you don't.
Yeah. Well, he kind of did, but more on that later. It completely backfired. There's an Andre 3000 thing, but we'll get to that outside of the review and into the actual thing.
I forgot about that.
rounding out the review, because it's been a weekend. Rounding out the review, this, compared to Donda, again, there's a good amount of features. I don't think too many features. You need a good amount of features because Drake on his own is just too much of a drone at this point. The Drake drone. Get that through Class G airspace, but you probably wouldn't be able to with there's a good amount of features on Drake's album in comparison, and the features definitely help bring the album up, and you get a whole variety of Drake's sound. You unfortunately even get Island Drake with Fountains featuring Thames a little bit, but there's two different things in this conversation. This is a good album for Drake. This is better than, I mean, people don't consider Dark Lane demo tapes, oh, that's a playlist care package. Oh, that's a playlist. Okay, it's better than Scorpion. I like it more than More Life and Views. I think it's his best since, if you're reading this, it's too late. But that being said, Drake albums, Drake as a project, like, if you want groundbreaking rap music or, like, good, even, like, standard rap music, we've been going all the summer with artists like IDK and artists like Genesis Owusu and all these other different things who are just, like, killing it out there right now. And then folks that even others of young who've heard of, who are like getting their time in the sun now, like Young Thug, etc., who have just got this talent better, and it's like time to kind of give them their time. Drake is very much, even though he's like in his 30s or whatever, and Kanye's getting up there as well. These are uncle rappers, and very much in our time.
Yep, and you've seen it before our eyes. Arbitrary skill this week is how many Dondas does this album get? Intonation required as well. This gets a solid seven Dondas, but with two quick Dondas. So 9 total.
Asterisk. Okay. I give this a similar score to yours. I'm gonna give this 6 regular Dondas, like the standard Donda.
Yeah.
And then 3 of your short Dondas, so Donda. And then 2 medium ones that are kind of, okay, in a questioning way, like Donda?
Donda?
Donda? All right. No, that was like a longer one. I'm talking like a medium. Donda? That's like longer. Donda is Donda? A medium. Yeah, yeah. It's all in the intonation, folks.
Exactly. Really,
and if you actually think an A or like an actual score rating system would make sense, Peppa the Pig would like to have a word with you.
And that's why we do that.
Yeah.
Moving on to some more stuff.
So we got rid of the Kanye runoff now. Now we're doing the Drake runoff. Because, and this is now Kanye runoff because Drake and Kanye have convinced themselves that they're in a rap beef, when it's really the oldest uncles of the family are fighting again over some argument they never settled 25 years ago. But and this one was really, really strange, honestly, and kind of dark. So, I mean, like, I followed it all online yesterday, so I can jump into it. Essentially, hot off the release of Certified Lover Boy, Drake was kind of feeling himself. It broke pretty much every streaming record on every streaming platform on Friday. Was the at time of recording, is the most streamed album ever on Apple Music, on Spotify, on Tidal, anything, all of the above. And again, it's not necessarily because Drake is good, but like, Drake's a cultural figure and people want to listen to it to have an opinion on it. If you rate the number of people who like kept listening to songs or listened to the album all the way through who weren't music critics, I mean, that's a different story. But basically, Drake went on to have leaked an unreleased Donda track. So talk about some reconnaissance here. Drake had an unreleased Kanye track. And also, to be fair, it's pretty easy to get unreleased Kanye tracks. These shits get leaked all the time. But Drake was guest hosting a session of Sound 42 on Sirius XM Saturday morning. They play a ton of October's very own, Drake's label's affiliated tunes. And Drake announced that he'd be hopping on around 2 a.m. to mix a few of his own selected tracks for his listeners. And then he threw on a song called Life of the Party, which was a Kanye West track intended for Donda, featuring Outkast's own Andre 3000.
Yep.
And again, like, this is the folks who were coming onto the Donda project were meant to be talking about, okay, this is kind of in a loose Kanye West way, meant to be a tribute to his late mother. And so Andre 3000 came onto the verse talking about his late mother. It's kind of like a soul beat. And it's really heartfelt and well done. Like, a lot of people were saying online, like, if the Andre 3000 feature was on Donda, it would have been probably the best feature on there. And not to say, because like, Andre 3000 is just like one of the best contemporary musicians of our time, but it was a pretty good track.
Yeah, I mean, 103,000 goes hard. We all know that. But it's just, it's funny how he wanted to do, like, Drake wanted to do this to kind of clown on Kanye, and it just went absolutely ass backwards because everybody liked the track, both of us included.
Yeah, the in the song, Kanye jumps on it and takes, like, some lyrics, like, he takes some shots at Drake saying, I put Virgil on Drake in the same text and it wasn't about matching the Arteodorex or Kid Cudi's dress, just told these grown men stop with the funny shit, etc, etc, blah blah blah. But this story gets so much deeper because Andre 3000 spoke out on, like, hey man. and it was a really, like, good like kind of statement that I want to get to. So he says, and I'm reading now, a few weeks ago Kanye reached out about me being part of the Donda album. I was inspired by his idea to make an album, to make a musical tribute to his mom, and it felt appropriate to me to support the Donda concept by referencing my own mother, who passed away in 2013. We both share that loss. I thought it was a beautiful choice to make a clean album, but unfortunately I didn't know that was the plan before I wrote and recorded my verse. It was clear to me that an edited clean format of the verse would not work without having the raw original also available, so sadly it had to be omitted from the original album's release. So that part right there is kind of like more of like an editing note about the verse itself, because like what Kanye had was like, what Drake had was a leaked unfinished version, but more referencing like the stuff that was said and kind of the existence of it itself. The track I, continuing from Andre 3000's statement, quote, the track I received and wrote to didn't have the diss verse on it, and we were hoping to make a more focused offering for the Donda album, but I guess things happen like they're supposed to. It's unfortunate that it was released in this way, and two artists that I love are going back and forth. I wanted to be on Certified Lover Boy too. I just want to work with people that inspire me. Hopefully I can work with Kendrick on his album. I'd love to work with Lil Baby, Tyler, and Jay-Z. I respect them all. End quote. King speaks. And so, yeah, that's Andre 3000 going, listen, I'm not taking sides in this, and I was told that this was just going to be an album about Kanye's late mother and about like that loss. So I'm going to chop on a song and talk about that, which a lot of the collaborators seem to do. Yep. Then you have Marilyn Manson and the Baby there for some weird reason. But like, hey, whatever, we report, you decide. And then I'm just saying, like, the song gets the song gets edited to include this diss track and then ends up in Kanye's hands and in Drake's hands. And that's where we are today, in the middle of this geriatric ass beef.
It's beautiful. Two uncle rappers going at each other's throats. Kind of. More like they're, you know, back in junior high, how they say you're going to get body or something, you know, get whatever, you go have some like random beat dudes who are all probably overdosed on heroin or some shit by now. But they always go to the bathroom and just like try to fight, but it's like the worst fighting you've ever seen, where they're just like,
all of the fighting of like, large clothes dryer at the laundromat on tumble dry, just like trying to shake itself, like duh, 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 duh.
Gonna go like this the whole time.
I think something I said about this was like, this rap beef has fewer bars than Prohibition. Like, it's there's no passion in this rap beef. There's no panache. Where's the panache? No, but really, like, I'm not supposed to feel any fight in Kanye West or Drake's story. Like, their beef is two successful people beefing about some stuff that is not really relatable, doesn't have to do with family or relationships. It's just, you know, slight reputational things that, this is America. People have already made their opinions on the reputational stuff anyways. So, overall, just really mid-tier beef. And I'm glad that Andre 3000 managed to take the high road out of that and, you know, like, express himself like in the right way and say like, listen, I want to work with anyone and everyone. I am in it for the love of the game, truly. God bless. I would like you were saying, Sean, earlier, I would love to see some of those other future collabs. I've turned around to Lil Baby. I will definitely give Lil Baby more of a chance. But also I'd love to see Kendrick and Andre 3000, Young Thug and Andre 3000, etc. That'd be great.
Tyler, you know, Andre 3000 would go hard. Yeah.
Mochi's Gooch and Andre 3000.
Whoa.
And Mochi's
investigate cat.
Moving on. Unrelated to that, although maybe perhaps somehow related, depending on the album
cover. Oh no.
If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power by Halsey. 13 songs, 43 minutes long. And we're gonna
finally get to it, because we had to delay it last week because it came out last week, but you know, Kanye had to do his whole Kanye thing, so we had to review Donda because we got to lay into that and just get it over with, so that way for Fred and I's mental health. But we finally get to go into it. Album that was pretty quick after her last release last year of my hiccups. After Manic, which came out last year, which had some songs that kind of like blew up and stuff here or there. But Halsey's been around for a while, pretty popular, and she's had a lot of stuff go on throughout her career, throughout her life, her personal life and all that. But we're here for the musica. So it starts off the tradition, kind of like a quieter, like more subdued track at the beginning, and then it builds and builds, and her voice is very powerful, really gorgeous throughout the track and throughout the whole album, to be fair. But like, it really gets you into the whole theme of this album of like, she wants, like, really wants to have like power and to be able to really show herself and self-expression and to be able to really do that and to basically just not have anybody belittle her and tell her what to do, more or less.
Yeah, a lot of the emphasis remains on the expression of that, not just like in the album cover, which is very striking. I wonder how this is going to work with me on YouTube. Let's see how that goes, speaking of strikes. And to be real about this, like, the idea with like people be getting all like the heebie-jeebies over like breastfeeding in public is like something that people need to like get over with in general. It's like, just a factor of the weird puritanical world we live in and the internet and the way things get like censored automatically, where like you have to be careful with these things. But you very much get the idea that she is expressing herself in a really well and in a musically production wise like way, in the most focused way I think she's done it in a while. Because production wise this is mostly like a, you know, traditional instruments, like indie alternative kind of record that has a lot of like loud rock parts in it as well.
There's a lot of rock in here.
Yeah, that's something interesting that I was expecting. It wasn't really until some songs you get near the end where you get something that's more like, I guess you would say, is like contemporary synth alternative kind of deal, with like big booming speakers and things like that. But you sort of start to finally get that in the latter parts of the record. In the top parts, it's just mostly rock. And that's it's a really refreshing thing to do because it's not like something that gets tiring at all.
Yes. No, and her rock is genuine too. It's good. Like, alt rock / alt pop rock, which is fun to listen to, but it's not overly produced, you know, like the Foo Fighters latest release and all that, which you get in your more popular alt rock stuff. But it's good for her as you know, a big pop artist who she's done so many different sounds all throughout her career, to have that sound to pop up. Like, example, the third song, easier than lying, is just like a straight up, like, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s rock song, but it's good. It's refreshing in the way that it's presented in the album and the context of it and everything too, because, you know, we have so many of these singer-songwriter albums that have come out this year, past couple of years, that we've reviewed on Audio Phase, that others have listened to, so on, about love, relationships, this and that, and it gets really drowned out because their production ends up sounding really samey, or you have that issue where I've talked about it before with like Laura Lana Del Rey with the Jack Antonoff production sounding very similar as well. But the nice thing with this album with Halsey is she does a bunch of different sounds but still can make it cohesive with it. You get some quieter acoustic tracks, you get some more stripped back layered piano tracks here or there, you get some more of your pop kind of, you know, your normal pop sounding tracks, but then you also throw in this rock, which is pretty prevalent throughout the record, but it sounds very good within the context of everything.
Yeah, it was really impressive, honestly, because like there's a lot of different angles you could have gotten it. And yeah, as you were mentioning, Manic was a very sort of like, and I largely liked Manic.
I like Manic for the most part. Yeah.
It was a largely like, it felt like different generations of womanhood, right? Like Manic definitely felt like a younger sort of like more into oneself and looking at one sort of like flaws and those like different issues and things like that as they relate to how one views oneself inwardly. Whereas this album is a lot more, okay, now I'm set and straight with myself and who I am as a person. These are the things, yeah, like kind of as the title is saying, like these are now the things like I'm demanding. These are the things that I want like settled on my terms sort of deal, right? And so, yeah, you get that through, especially A Girl's a Gun.
Yes.
That's like one of the songs that gets a lot like synthier. It almost reminds me of Grimes, actually, at a certain point.
I think you get that.
Yeah,
it's pretty experimental with the way that the overdub electronics go, the really beefy bass and everything else, and it's kind of like chopped up a bit too.
Yeah, in a very rocky,
it's a very rocky way. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm saying in an otherwise very rocky album, this, yeah, does a really like different electronic thing like right in the middle there.
Yeah, because then after That Girl's a Gun, You've Asked for This Darling, 1121, Honey, those are all like pretty rocky tracks slash like somewhere like is Yes For This is straight up rock, which is a pretty good track. Darn These Be More Stripped Back Acoustic. 1121 is like, again, a little bit stripped back acoustic stuff, but you get more of that poppy sound. And then Honey's rock. Whispers is the only track like after that like gets more into your real popish sound, but it's still not overgeneralized, overproduced. Right off the trigger and treat her to 70 capsules. We fly to a castle, so at least we could say that we died being traveled, cultured and flattered, and then I could trap her. But what does it matter? You do not want this. This is the voice in her head that says you do not want him. This is that space in your bed that says, man, I could fuck him. Isn't it lonely? These are the standards to which you could hold me. Think that you know.
Yeah, like Whispers is the closest thing I can compare to like a pop track in the likes of like
you know, what you'd think of a Halsey track necessarily.
Yeah. Or even like a Charlie XCX or Billie Eilish or like those comparisons I would make.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very, it's tastefully done. You have like sort of the muted, more synthy drums that I personally love messing around with, like a musical effect. And you have just Whispers in the vocals, but also the way the song sort of transfers and goes through itself is it's really like nice, and also takes production risks that I'm happy to see Halsey at her stature doing and brilliantly executing on this record. Even on like what would be seen as like the quote unquote filler tracks, since they're not like the lead singles, but I didn't get like a filler vibe from anything on here.
No, everything is purposeful. Everything has a place on it, and it makes it cohesive. So considering that, it's not too far from her last release of last year, because Manic came out, when did it come out? Like early 2020, maybe, if I recall correctly. It's hard. 2020 is a really weird year in music, obviously.
Yes.
But for being pretty close together, they are very different records, which is good.
Yeah, and we often complain about when artists release samey-sounding records because they were too close together.
Because they're so close. Unless they purposely say this is like the fulls, like this is a part one, this is a part two, or so on and so forth. But anyways, yeah, I was pretty impressed with the record. I really enjoyed it.
Arbitrary
scale is Donda Chance. How many Dondas with intonation does this get? This gets like 12 normal Dondas plus 4 long Dondas. Like Donda, Donda, like that, like real throaty. Like maybe you've just finished your Cuban cigar or something and you got some tobacco hanging up in your throat. There's that real raspiness.
Joey Diaz doing the Donda chant.
Donda.
Donda.
You got the Donda.
Donda. I'm sorry, Peter. I'm going with that too. It's just a strong, powerful Donda chance.
Sean,
I'll take a bad apology. Let me do this again. Sean, I'll take half-assed apologies for $300, please.
Daily double. Who apologized to Glad for homophobic remarks? You've got answers. You got
no. This is, I mean, we screwed with the analogy at this point, but go on.
Oh, no, I know we screwed the analogy, but that's the point, because none of this makes sense. It's audio face. Who gives a fuck? Because now it's made this Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but, you know, it's Daily Double, so you usually have to write in your answers. But Alex Trebek is dead, so who cares anymore? And there's not even a new Jeopardy host. And there's, like, I keep getting these stupid fucking articles from liberals saying, who's going to be the new Jeopardy host? Oh, this person can't be a Jeopardy host because they said some random remarks or some shit. But anyways, we'll get into these remarks of who apologized to Glad for homophobic remarks. We've got number one, we got Marilyn Manson. Number two, we've got Lil Nas X. Number three, we've got Grimes. Number four, we got Deb Baby. Who you got? Who's your fighter? Choose your fighter.
Is this Price is Right rules?
Price is Right rules, baby.
So, if I pick Lil Nas X, that means I win regardless. Someone else has to pick a dumber answer. No. Okay. So... That was better than expected. The answer is DaBaby. So The way this all happened was GLAAD did this whole, I love that Consequence, .net Consequence of Sound continues to use the same AIDS photo of DaBaby and the Giving What It's Supposed to Give video. But anyways, GLAAD released a statement, that an organization. They said that DaBaby has been, quote, genuinely engaged and received GLAAD's personal stories and the truth about HIV and its impact on Black and LGBTQ communities with deep respect. GLAAD continues, we appreciated that he openly and eagerly participated in this forum of Black people living with HIV, which provided him an opportunity to learn and to receive accurate information. And so this is in response to like all of the DaBaby stuff we talked about ad nauseum in August and Audio Face, but a lot of it goes around to, okay, what can DaBaby do? Like, what's the best way to actually apologize about this, right? Like, how do you actually go about this? And this is one of the more like performative things, like, okay, people had to like then go out of their way to educate someone who's like barely showed any sort of like remorse or willingness to be educated until it was clear that his career was on the line. But yeah, they went to with him. They developed this whole like panel thing for him to try to educate him about these issues. And whether or not he means it or not, or whether or not he just learns to shut the hell up when it comes to these things he's ignorant about, it remains to be seen. But like he had that one like statement where he apologized about what he said in the actual like, you know, better way of making that apology kind of way. And then he deleted that statement like pretty shortly afterwards. So where he actually truly stands on this, whether or not he's like, yeah, that's all the bullshit I did for the gay people, but I'm still like, fuck it, all this stuff over here behind the scenes / whatever else he might be doing behind the scenes. I think that just remains to be seen there. It's not just enough that he went to some organization and did some forum and had to talk for a couple of hours and did basically a media junket to improve his image. Like, it's not enough. There has to be actual action.
Exactly. You know, that's, yeah, it's going to take a lot for us to genuinely believe any of that shit too. So, but
and it's going to take a while. Like, this is a very recent thing that happened. Exactly. And so, like, it's going to take a little bit. There's a cooling off period, if you will. It's going to need to happen. So that'll, I'm learning how my desk works today. That'll happen there. But anyways, another kind of last note of thing is that we kind of talked about that concerts were kind of coming back and like there are like you can get tickets for them. And that's kind of true. But concerts are continuing to get postponed again as the situation surrounding the Delta variant, other variants of COVID-19 that are spreading very rapidly. I mean, there are places that have like California reached an 80% vaccination rate or like close to vaccination rate, being defined as at least one dose. But a lot of concerts are continuing to have to postpone because these situations are developing in different ways. Individual concerts, like we report on Live Nation, are taking it in their own hands and requiring proof of vaccination or proof of vaccination or negative COVID tests from the past like 48 hours in order to attend any of these events. But yeah, totally fine with me. But ultimately, you're not going to be able to have another year. Like, this is one of those things where, unfortunately, public health be damned. We've, like, already crossed the Rubicon on that. Where you're not going to be able to have another year, economically speaking, in the music industry without concerts. They're going to have to happen by hook or by crook.
Exactly. But you also have, it's an interesting thing, you also have a bunch of concert postponements right now because of weather. So with the severe weather right now affecting parts of the United States, you have a couple different concerts that have been postponed because they're supposed to be held in the fall and whatnot. And with the hurricanes that have come up into in the south of America, into the Gulf, and then some of the torrential downpours that have come and had floods in New York, New Jersey, etc., they've put that's postponed a lot too. So that's going to be hard on a bunch of musicians and festivals and stuff that we're planning on coming back this year that are going to be because of weather as well. So you have a couple, you have other things along with COVID. So it's crazy.
It
strange times.
Yeah. it's definitely rough. You feel out there, not just for the musicians who like rely on these things to make a living,
but all the crew. Venues, the crew, exactly. Like a lot of people like on crew, they expect to make this extra amount of coin if they're not necessarily full-time crew, but some people go and help out on that and can make an extra pretty coin that can help pay off this or that, and they're not gonna be able to now, and it's crazy. It
further exacerbates economic turmoil that has existed because of COVID-19 and things before COVID-19.
Yep.
For these people who help like make these concerts like great experiences for all of us. So it's a sad thing, and it very much touches on like broader socioeconomic political trends that are happening in the world. But that's usually where I stop and say hashtag no politics and direct people who are interested in my little teases like that to check out Power Report for more than what you want from that. You'll get so much of that from Power Report, you'll come running to Odd Audio Face again because you'll want less politics. But speaking of wanting lots of things and then wanting a lot less of that, we go less elegantly into one of my less elegant transitions ever to the next album, the last album review of the week, which is Little Sims. Sometimes I might be an introvert.
I might be introvert, not an introvert.
Right. I have that introvert in my head. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I say that every time. I'm like, love you, Little Sims, but damn it, put an and in there. It is 19 songs, 1 hour and 5 minutes long. Starts off very, very well with the track Introvert. I first heard of Little Sims, by the way, or like the first track that I really kind of got into was that one Gorillaz track that came out 4 years ago or something like that, Garage Palace, I believe. Whatever one that she was on was like after Humans release.
Yeah, you're right. That is absolutely correct. That's the song.
Okay, yeah, that was one because I heard her rapping on. I was like, shit, she goes really hard. And then that's when I kind of got into and listened to some of her stuff. But anyways, Introvert starts off. It's a pretty cool opening track because it starts off with like this big like brass band marching beat and whatnot, kind of getting you into the track like for about a minute. And then once that kind of transpires, then Little Sims just goes on and just her flow, the production, everything is just full gas right in front of you for that track. And it's gorgeous. And then you have like that ensemble and stuff kind of go throughout the track and ends and pops up. So it's a very long opening track, but it's one of my favorites of the year so far because it's very different and it sets kind of the mood and tone for what you're going to get and see throughout the record.
Yeah, I'd say the best and worst part about this album is that there's a lot of like grandeur to it. Yes. As a record, like it's put together, there's a lot of interludes and they all kind of go together to tell a story and to help develop the theme. All these things, and a lot of albums do this sometimes, where the extra flourishes and touches that help solidify the album's theme really do that. They help solidify the album's theme. The downside is that they can also add a lot of fluff and filler where it doesn't need to be, and then it makes you kind of like more critically look at that record and be like, okay, what is this fluff and filler like trying to hide? Like, can I get past it? Stuff for me to get past. The interesting thing with this record though is like the songs here go like very hard. Like I'm trying to go to like some of the producing credits on here, and the producers for this record seems to be let me see, Inflow, Jack Wobb, and Miles James, who are just, you know, general producers in like neo soul and hip hop or whatever. But I was thinking like Woman by Little Sims, production wise, quality wise.
Honeys, know you repping for your country. Sun kissing your brown skin, looking like money. Says she focusing on being an accountant. When you have beauty and brains, they find it astounding. Why she been getting it on her own, nigga? Self-made, ain't nobody doing gold, nigga. Now Miss Cindy always beats with her chest, got respect.
It reminded me of a song that Karen O and Danger Mouse did that was also called Woman, that was similarly just like tightly produced and very like you know, like big. And we reviewed it very, very long time ago on Audio Face. It was like March of 2018 or 19 or something like that. Yeah, it was just a really like Karen O, it just like had her vocals just like singing and really just like powerful. The production of Danger Mouse just punchy and crunchy as ever, and you really get that same effect in Little Sims's song Woman. as well. And you get it here where they're just like songs that have this like amazing, like Kanye West in his prime levels of production quality. I'll go to like Love You Hate You down there.
I wanted to get you that track. Yeah.
Yeah. It just shows like Little Sims kind of talking about her relationship with her father and like having this like, mm-hmm. I love you like as a parent, but like you while raising me, like just put me through a lot of unnecessary crap, wouldn't let me just like grow as a woman and be myself and all these different things.
Always. But right now. You made the promise to God to be there for your kids. You made the promise to give them a life you didn't live. My ego won't fully allow me to say that I miss you. A woman who hasn't confronted all her daddy issues. The day will come when you gotta find all the answers to your sins. Pressures are provided.
And so that constant dichotomy within the chorus, within the sample, it's just so brilliantly and meticulously thought out. Like, this is the kind of thinking that we want all artists to approach their albums with, because you're an artist, your album, this is your work, it deserves this kind of thought into it. And Little Sim just like checks all the boxes and knocks out of the park.
Yeah, it's this one thing that I would love to say throughout this is the production of it is fantastic. You have a lot of different styles of tracks, right? You have you have your neo soul stuff, you've got like just the heavy hitting hip-hop that is great. The interludes I don't find to be super annoying necessarily, because like Little Q part one and two, like the interlude for that track is fine, because it kind of like sets up a fun little story for it. It doesn't, like some of them can get like a little long, because I know the rapper that came to tea, like that one is a little bit too long of an interlude. If that one was a little bit short, it might not have kind of brought at least my listening to a little bit of a halt. That's probably one of my only main complaints of the record. But for like Little Q part two, it really sets up the track and kind of how she wanted to make the production sound, so that way you can really get through that whole concept of the record, which, you know me, I like my concept records. But some of them, there's interesting, because these interludes could be pretty long compared, but it was interesting with how she set it up. I really liked Speed going into like the middle of the record after the Gems interlude, because that's just, it's short, it's fast into it, and I really like the drum beat in it, and it reminds me of Gorilla Sound with the way the production is and the sound of it, and it's probably my favorite track on the record. So I listened to it, I was just like, wow, that's such a cool track. I really like how it was made.
Oh, it's got some OG Gorillaz in there for sure. It's very like exactly. Dubby, kind of simple. Really like that. Like, not simple in like a derivative way, like a derogatory way, but like it just, all you need are the basics, and it goes throughout that regardless.
Yes.
You have some really good songs. Like, I think every rapper, of course, if you're doing a rap album right, you need your just like bravado, I'm the best song, and Standing Ovation
then just Standing
very
Ovation
clearly
right after speed.
Works
yep.
for that. And it's a really like, it's a, again, there's very little filler in this, even considering how much album you have. I'd say the filler are the interludes, and you got about exactly my opinions right. I don't hate the interludes, and I think they add a lot to the album and the record, but I think they are just a little bit too much, and when taken as a whole, in that like, okay, I would have done with like fewer interludes, cut straight to the point, because there's some good stuff in there, and just like get to the great music that's there.
Or would have made the, if you want to keep the interludes, just makes them shorter, because the interludes sure. can be long. They're 2 minutes, 45 seconds. You know, they're nearly 3 minutes long on some of them. So if you can make those a little bit shorter, it can make the album a little bit more concise and a little bit, easier to rummage through a lot of it for the average listener. For us that, you know, we do this every week, we can kind of sift through it and go throughout the whole record and really pick out the stuff we like. But for someone else who wants to necessarily get in there, then it might be a little bit more difficult to see it, because you see 19 tracks or you see a runtime, like, wow, that's a lot. I mean, where do I start? Where do I go? Especially if you're someone who hasn't listened to Little Sims before, because she has a lot of different sounds, a lot of different production stuff in this record and in her discography as well.
Yeah, and I get concerned about that. Like, will people go through? I mean, obviously people will for like Kanye and Drake. They'll go through hour-long, hour and a half long, 2 hour long projects for these things. But like, Little Sims, like to her credit, like she's made herself as like an underground darling, but still very like underground. So how do you like get people into that is like kind of like my concern. But ultimately, like at the end of the day, the music will speak for itself.
Yeah, and like going down the record, like you have 13, which is my second favorite track on the record. You have Protect My Energy, which has this beautiful 80s beat throughout the whole song. And just like, you know, gets me back to my when I was younger. And you can, and I would listen to a lot of 80s and early 90s records and stuff. And it was just fantastic for it. But then where do you, can you sit through that within the rest of the record? That's kind of my worry slash complaint a bit. But I like the record a lot. Like I've listened to Protect My Energy and Speed a ton. The past couple of days, like I think I put them in the playlist, I'm pretty sure, because I've been listening to those tracks a lot. Flow is fantastic, lyricism's great, production's incredible too.
I wanted to also drop a shout out to Point and Kill, which is like in between, there's an interlude between Protect My Energy and Point and Kill. And like that's the thing is that like, and I again, sometimes I might be introvert, is something I vibe with. I don't know about you. I think we'd both be introverted people. So like I vibe with a lot of this message.
Extremely introverted if I could be.
Yes.
given the choice, I am.
Yeah, that's true. I think we both have like a lot of obligations that require us to like go outside, but like not just, it's more complicated than just like being outside, right? Because like I also don't like being cooped up in my room all the time ever. Like COVID was a particularly difficult thing for me, where like one thing I battle against like my depression and things like that is just being outside. But the especially like the garden interlude, what I'm getting at, the garden interlude I think is like all these different like messages for introverts about like, it's similar to the message of protect your energy, like it's acknowledging that you need to sort of be yourself and have yourself together before you go out into the world, because introverts like enjoy the world, enjoy people, but they also kind of have a bit of a clock, or they know that like, okay, at a certain point,
you
can
only
I need to
be
dial
around
back.
People. Exactly. And that's like, personally, that's exactly how I am. I can only have so much interaction before then I get completely overwhelmed to the point where I go, my God, I can shut down necessarily.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. And that's what I love that without the record is she keeps pointing to that here or there. And it's, I really enjoyed it.
And bringing empowerment to that experience and bringing voice to that experience, which is like, again, not even us speaking to that and saying like, that's awesome, like coming from us, but like you're speaking to an experience you have and you're making that experience like empowering. Like we've talked about it in the case of Lizzo. We've talked about it in the case of Lil Nas X. Like we love in this case of Little Sims as well. So brah fucking vo. And my last thing around the interludes is that I do like the interludes just because I said they've filled with like really nice things, especially for the introvert topic. But this album would have been such a fire experience if it's just banger after banger after banger after banger, which it is without the interludes. Like this album's a hit parade. There's barely any things where like it stops, it slows down, where like I hate like, or like I don't want to listen to one of these songs or I skip it. I do that with the interludes, but everything else I can bang in my car and the bass is bumping and it's great and I really love it. Like it's such an immaculate album, which is why I'm sort of like, when we have albums on Audio Face that we really, really enjoy, we pick them apart sometimes the most. And yeah, I just wish the interludes were cut back a little bit because it ruins almost like the hit parade nature of this album. That being said, clearly Little Sims like could have gone for like a 35 minute just nonstop banger after banger album or EP, and she's done that and very clearly has that in her, but she wanted to do something more conceptual, more broad, like more broader, to have like an actual theme and message within it, and you need some more real estate to do that. And so I grant you that it was overall a good job despite my nitpicks.
Yes, thoroughly agreed.
Now, for the arbitrary scale, we do arbitrary scales in Audio Face because actually giving a rating system for a scale doesn't matter, and what we said in the review is what we said in the review. This arbitrary scale week, we're doing Donda Chance, and this is going to be 10 good Donda, like a long da at the end of them, like you are Kevin Hart trying to punch himself in the stomach enough to get the bass down in his voice enough to do voice acting.
This is 53 very, very quick dondas. So you're like, you're trying to beatbox donda or something. He's like, donna, 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 to the point where it's like, you hear it, you hear it so much that it just all blurs into one, like Tom York says, and then you don't, halfway through, you don't understand that they keep saying Donda, but it's Donda the whole 53 times.
Good album, though. We like to end Audio Face on a fun note, and I'm glad you found a funner note. But let's
to
start
end
with
on
this.
Because I want to start with your fun note, and I'm gonna start with my fun note, I'm gonna end with my fun note.
Yes. So this is just a little. This is a light week, other than the Drake stuff and the lingering Kanye stuff. This was a light week, not quite a music business worldwide week, but light week. And I just did want to note a interaction from a personal friend of me and colleague in political sphere, and also previous Audio Face guest Hassan Piker,
yes.
Episode 70 of Audio Face, before this fucker got all Twitch famous, he did an Audio Face episode talking about SoundCloud
That's
rap. Right. It's one of my favorite episodes.
Hassan, the choir boy, one of my favorite Audio Face episodes.
Choir boy Hassan Piker, episode 75, 76, somewhere around those. Check it out. It's great. But anyways, Kevin Abstract tweeted out Brockhampton's looking for new members starting today. And this made its own little bit of news. Again, there's a lot of music news that does happen every single week, but Brockhampton's looking for new members. I can't talk about that for 3 minutes. I don't care. I don't care that much. But Hassan, Twitter shit posting as always, makes the mistake of replying, "Let me get in there." Replying to Kevin Abstract's solicitation for new members of Brockhampton. Kevin Abstract replies, which member? JoJo's Bizarre Adventure credits.
You either show up or you lay down. which one is it going to be, sunshine?
It's giving me Vince Staples to Lil Nas X, "Nigga is 8 a.m. vibes.
One of my favorite tweets of the year by far.
That's just a solid interaction.
It's 8 a.m. He's like, he's got a point.
And because I can give you perhaps amazing insight into how Hassan's brain works, this is exactly how he read that tweet. Assume I'm wearing 13 rings on my 10 fingers.
Thank you.
Oh God, he was. Oh Jesus. Okay, time to stream now. He just read that and he was like, "Oh God, okay." That will make him put down Twitter for the day. Not much else, but it will be that. And lastly,
to end on your face on a super fun note. And I found this last second story, and it might be my favorite story of all time ever on this podcast ever. Lil Uzi Vert, the Uzi himself. He has his young face diamond ripped from his skull after diving into a crowd. So this dude just rolls up, right, is just getting interviewed by TMZ, and he has a little belly button ring on his forehead now because his face diamond is missing. Everybody's like, "Dog, where'd the diamond go? What happened to the diamond?"
Fucking $50 18-year-old septum piercing
that shit's gotten infected probably.
You know
the style of a belly button ring. You've seen that before. But anyways, he said that the TMZ cameraman asked him of the diamond's whereabouts, and he said, "I had a show at Rolling Loud and I jumped into the crowd and they kind of ripped it out." Apparently he was able to hold on to it somehow and get it out, but I can only imagine just all the blood gushing out of his hands and shit just going out. But
wow, who could have imagined this happened?
Exactly. This is what happens when you flaunt. You have a $24 million pink diamond on your forehead. You dive into a crowd. You don't think some dude's going to be like, "I can live off of this," and just rip it from your head. That's going to happen. If you just get in a fight with the dude, right? What do you think he's going to do first thing? He's going to tug on that thing. He's going to pull on your braids first, roll over, rip out the face diamond.
There's no... Again, we all just go about our lives thinking that we're all thinking about shit the same way. Because, I don't know, if I was thinking about a skull diamond, I'd think about, maybe I can't crowd dive anymore. Maybe this thing might become, a target on my head, quite literally. He's had issues with the skull diamond. We've been talking about this since he got implanted it this year.
And he had removed.
I think that's the 2021 thing. Worst album, blah, 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 skull diamond, 2021.
100%. Worst album on nuked, scorched earth, Hawaii.
No quid pro quo.
There's one other thing.
Bleach injection.
Bleach injection.
Ripped, Skull Diamond 2021.
Ripped Skull Diamond 2021. Dude, in like episode 400, that thing's going to be like a German word for beef regulation, where it's just going to be like 86 sentences long and it's going to be one word. I'm just going to look at that back. Can you just make an abbreviation, please?
I hope by Audioface 400 we have actual trophies, and so for that one, the little like name plaque just has to awkwardly hang off of the trophy itself. Like, shipping, it's a nightmare because you have to get like a wide box, but it's just for that little like piece of like laminated paper.
Beautiful, please. I want it. Oh my god, this has been Audioface. What does it mean to play us out? Well, thank you for listening/watching to this fine established podcast. We have done 202 of these, and we're going to keep continuing to do them for the foreseeable future because we like doing this shit. You can follow me, SW Suarez, if I trust you. That's super if I trust you. You can follow Dan at Dan from the internet on Instagram, Dan from the web on Twitter. And you can follow the show at Audioface Pod on every social medias. And you could go to youtube.com/Audioface Pod to get all of our YouTube clips, which we post daily, and go comment on the Donda review, go comment on the Drake review and stuff too as well. You always find everything at audioface.show as well, and we're being a podcast at rate us, please rate us, do all that shit, and let us know whatever music you want to listen to. This has been Audioface. Thank you for listening. I think I did that plug very well.
Really great.
Bye.
Bye.